This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero 2014 in Friedrichshafen. I'm with Rhett Ross of Continental Motors. Rhett, you guys got quite a busy show here. You've got the Piper announcement with the 2OS, Centurion 2OS and the Archer. And you've got some other programs going on here. Why don't you give us the rundown on those?
Okay. Well, Paul, we're our excitement is working more and more with OEMs, so we're very excited to talk about Piper. We're also working closely again with Daimon, which is exciting for the team here in Germany. We'll be announcing a 2.0S upgrade option in partnership with Daimon for the DA42 fleet that's out there. This will allow customers with either the 1.7 or the 2.0 to upgrade to a 2.0S, the 155 horsepower engine, without really requiring any major changes to the airframe.
And when will those 2OSs be available for the Daimon?
We're still working with Daimon and EASA to finish the STC, but we would expect in the second half of this year availability of that option.
Now, that should give those airplanes just a little bit better performance, because that'll be 20 horsepower per side, correct, over the 2.0 and the 1.7?
Correct, yes. So you'll be getting a higher horsepower for the same airframe, same overall configuration. So you will pick up climb, you will pick up speed.
And what kind of additional fuel burn there?
No significant difference in the fuel burn, maybe half a gallon to a gallon. Of course, if you're like me, it's a lot more because you like to run faster.
Now, here in the booth at Friedrichshafen, you've got a Cessna 172 with a 2OS in it. That STC has been out there for a while. Are you moving into marketing that more aggressively?
We will be. We have a number of great installation center partners that are working hard. Of course, you're aware of Red Hawk. You heard last week, I believe it's Sun and Fun Premier announcing that it's starting to market that. We're seeing a lot of excitement internationally, so we are going to be pushing that more. We're adding Matatuck services as an installation center, so they'll be offering it as well. We see that aircraft is very viable in the European and international marketplace because of the fuel price differences or the total lack of availability, and that's where we're seeing a lot of demand.
Now, the 2.0 and the 2.0S are so similar that I assume that anything that has a 2.0 can have a 2.0S as well?
Well, I would not run around and make that blanket statement because you are putting more power in. So unless it's an approved installation with an approved STC, don't just think that you can drop a 2.0S where you had a 2.0. But in general, yes. And, for like the Cessna 172 application and the Piper Warrior Archer application, those are largely interchangeable opportunities.
All this talk about diesel makes some of us think that gasoline is done, but that's certainly not true at Continental. You've got some announcements here on the gasoline engine side?
That's correct. We are firmly committed to maintaining all of our product line and supporting both our existing customer base and a future customer base. Gasoline in an unleaded form powered engines will be around, I think, for quite a long time. We are working again in the gas area in partnership with Shell on their 100 octane option. We're working with others as well. But we're also looking at low octane fuels just in case. So we are certifying in partnership with Flight Design for their C4. The IO360 on low-octane Total 91 and some other formulations, maybe including some limited auto fuels.
What do you see developing in the Asian market as far as fuel preference?
Diesel. It's just a reality. If you don't have to create a second infrastructure on an airfield, it just makes the economics easier. And we're talking about a lot of places that could use these aircraft, and they don't want to have to truck in a second fuel. So we're seeing a lot of demand, a lot of interest for our diesel engines in those parts of the world.
You've been skeptical of what I call real mo gas, which is an ASTM fuel, an ASTM approved motor fuel for road use. still feel that way? Are there any possibilities there?
Well, I'm still skeptical. It's not that we would not be supportive, but again, you know, this gets into simple economics, in my opinion. I don't see the value in multiple fuels. And part of that goes to the fact that aviation is a different application. It's going to require certification of the fuels. We can all say on our weekend warrior trips that, yeah, I'm stopping at the gas station, getting some jerry cans and throwing it in the airplane and feeling great about it. You know, if all you're doing is buzzing around the airfield a couple thousand feet or whatever, it's going to be okay. But if you're trying to jump into your Bonanza or your Cirrus and throw that kind of fuel in, run up to 20,000 feet and expect the kind of performance and reliability, it's not going to happen in those fuels. The other aspect is we got to remember, those fuels change formulations. Those fuels on any given day get their delivery from any number of mixing depots or refineries, and you don't know what you're getting on any given day. That is something that we do know with our aviation fuels, whether it be Jet A or avgas with lead or avgas without lead. And that's important for peace of mind when you're putting your family in an airplane and going across the mountains or going across water or just, you know, from Mobile to Atlanta.
Have you followed the airworthy autogas proposal, which is basically, I guess what could best be described as a pedigreed autogas that contains a guaranteed formulation and a known range of vapor pressures? Does that make market sense to you?
Well, it does if it becomes the de facto standard for all the fuels at all of the airfields. And it really, that's what I'm trying to say is we have to understand in our industry that we have a different application than an automobile. We want that certification. We want that validation anytime we pull up, whether it's a self-serve pump or a flight lines, you know, serviced pump. We want to know that what's going into the tank has a pedigree and that we can rely on it when we're at altitude. If they come out with that and it works, then all the greater. Standing on my usual soapbox, I'll also say we have to remember part of what drives fuel prices in many parts of the world, to a much lesser extent in North America, are taxes. And, you know, the other premise behind this is, oh, well, if I buy a MoGas, it's not going to be taxed. You know, we're dealing in the United States with the idea that our government can never release a tax. People are not going to suddenly see tax revenue go away and not want to replace it. So your MoGas will eventually be taxed at an aviation tax basis, which brings the price right back up to what we're dealing with. So, I mean, we've got to think of this as logically applied businessmen under true economic situations as well as true qualified fuel situations. And then as long as people bring that to market, Continental Motors will support it.
Okay, thanks, Rhett.
No problem. Appreciate it, Paul.
You've been listening to Rhett Ross of Continental Motors speaking about diesel and MoGas and other topics here at Aero 2014 in Friedrichshafen, Germany. I'm Paul Bertarelli reporting. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.